I did go to John 1:1, and in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen, amen. So we know what the Word is. It is God. And with that said, we must allow God to write His story for our lives. So, Father God, we come before your holy throne this morning. Father, I thank you for this privilege, Lord God, that you have bestowed upon me. Father God, I ask only that you give me the words, that you change anything that needs to be changed, Lord God, but give me the words that you would like me to place before your children. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. So with that, the title of this message is Write It Down. Amen. Amen. And I want to start by telling you that we need to be active participants in allowing God to write our story. And when we do that, our future becomes exactly what God has planned it to be. Amen? Amen. So you see, where we are a part of a great story that is formulated by God. And when you release your plans and allow Him to continue writing your story, your life becomes a major part of your testimony. Amen? Amen. And in this testimony, in this life, you will experience success and you will experience victory.
That's right.
What we really, really need to know is that it's God that's writing the story. He is in the process of writing. It's a continuum right now. Yesterday, right then, he was writing. Today, he is writing. And tomorrow, it will be a present tense that he is writing. He's writing the next chapter of your life. And we know the victory that will be in that life. In all the wisdom that he uses and all his desires for us, for that life. Now, we need to know and we need to accept that the Word knows all the words there are to be known. We need to know that God is the ultimate author of our unending story. I say unending because believers have an eternity to live. It's unending. So we believers, we, you and me, the faithful, will live unto eternity. Isn't that a great gift from God? Amen. 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 You see, what we are is we're characters. We're just characters in the story that he is writing, as I said, this very moment. He writes every moment. He even documents every breath that we've taken and every breath that we are to take. And with God in control, we don't need to be victims. And we don't need to allow anyone to victimize us. Why? Because we know that Jesus has us in the palm of his hands. He has our future in the palm of his hands. And we know that he is actively fighting in our behalf. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And we can be reassured when we know without a question, without a doubt, that he is in control. when we accept that, when we accept that he is in control, that he controls the next chapter in our lives, that he controls what is going to happen to us, all fear will disappear and we can live in peace.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me refer to this. The Bible speaks of writings. Remember, the title of this message is Write It Down. In the Bible, we read, or it speaks of things that were documented. It could have been past occurrences. It is current occurrences of those times, and even prophetic occurrences of things that were to come. Now, what title is ascribed to these writers? The Bible calls them scribes. So I went into Webster's and I researched the word scribe, and I found the following. A scribe is a person that writes, copies, or copied, past tense, documents. Scribes were especially necessary during biblical times because there wasn't any such thing as publishing companies, printing presses, mechanical printers. They weren't invented yet. I did keep looking, and a scribe was also described as an ancient Jewish record keeper. So I wonder if we can add another attribute to our God, the attribute of being the scribe of our lives. And in doing so, what is the purpose? What is the purpose? Let's go back to the Word of God, where it tells us that scribes were mentioned. They were mentioned in the king's throne room. They were even mentioned in the sanctuary, or referred to in the sanctuary. So we must know the purpose of the scribe and the purpose of his writings. Amen. Amen. I went to Luke 4:20, and in the interest of time, of course, write it down, or you can go there, but I'm going to speak of it. In Luke 4:20, speak to us of when Jesus was in the sanctuary. And it says that he rolled up the scroll. There was a scroll, that meant there had to be writings on it. What was the purpose of that? Who wrote the scroll? But when Jesus rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. Now, everyone in the sanctuary's eyes were on him. See, they were like, what's going on? What's going on? And he began by saying to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, in your presence. You see, when we write what God says, what he professes, we will see the fulfillment of that writing. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is claiming the prophecy that was written. Imagine. I just want you to imagine if that prophecy had not been written down, if it had not been put on paper, would we have known? Even when it came to pass, would we have recognized it? Something to think about. So where did these writings come from? Who wrote them? Why were they written? They must have been written for our posterity by a scribe. And now I'm not actually addressing the prophecy. I'm addressing the writings. See, they must have been written so that we would know that a Savior was to come. Will you allow God to be the scribe in your life? When you do, I want you to know that you will accept the reason we have to write God's vision. We have to write it down. When he speaks to us for our future destiny. This way, we will acknowledge its fulfillment in our future. Mm-hmm. See, when Jesus rolled up that scroll, that prophecy, that promise was revealed. Amen, amen. So, it will be, when we write it down, when we acknowledge its fulfillment, it will be acknowledged in our future by our future generations, and they will learn from our history, from God's written word and promises that we have documented. You need to write it down. This will allow our future generations to learn and to grow from our mistakes, but also learn and progress and know what is right and just. What I want us all to acknowledge is that Jesus is the scribe in our lives. He is actively, as we said, writing our story. He's writing your future. And as he does that, you must document. It will then review, and then we can review our past by our writings and learn from our mistakes. You must claim and write down your future, God's promises. See, God is writing. He's writing right now the new chapter for your life. Don't look at the past. Look at the future. Amen. He will write it on based on biblical truths. And he wants you to know that what he did in the Bible, what he did then, he can and he will do now. Do it now for you. Amen. So be an active participant in his story. Get your pen and paper ready for your next chapter. Be ready at all times to hear from him. And excuse me if I'm going on and on, but I noticed that I tend to speak slowly when I minister, and I'm trying to beef it up anyway. So get your pen and paper ready for your next chapter. Be ready. Be ready at all times to hear from him. And so many times I've heard, God doesn't speak to me. I've heard people say that. God doesn't speak to me. And the only thing I can reply to that is, have you been listening? Have you been listening? Because I'm telling you, God speaks to me when I look at a flower. I'm telling you, have you been listening? Listening especially to his, what I will call, dictations. Have your pen and paper ready throughout the day and when you sleep at night. Put it on your nightstand. Because if you say, oh, I'll remember in the morning to write it, you're not going to remember. Mm-mm. I say put it on your nightstand because we know that he speaks in dreams. He spoke in dreams then, and he can speak in dreams now.
Yes.
Yes. Let me tell you something. On August 4th, 2015, how do I know the date? I wrote it down. Yes. God clearly spoke to me. Yes, it did seem to be a part of a dream, But I'm going to tell you, when God spoke to me, it was as if the dream ended. It was as if suddenly there was nothing. I was in a void, nothing but God's thunderous voice. Amen. So that was, 9 years ago. I'm not going to tell you what he said, okay? But he gave me two sentences, which I wrote down on a sticky note. And you're welcome to come to my house any time of the night or day and go into my room. And on the mirror is that sticky note. Amen. And why is it there? Amen. Well, first of all, one of his promises has already been fulfilled. Amen. And I thank you, Father God, for that promise. The other, although I'm not so anxious for it to be fulfilled, I do wait on it. And I do, whenever I look at that sticky note, I do remind God of what he said to me, of what he promised me. You know, so it's important. It's important to write it down. Now, unbelievers will say to you, oh, or will say to me, you were only dreaming. But as I mentioned, the word says that God speaks in dreams. We also reviewed that what he did in the past, he will and he can do now. I'm going to take you to Matthew 1:20 to reinforce this. In Matthew 1:20, it tells us that Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, that he was pondering, that his mind was involved in lots of thinking. Lots of, I would guess, trepidation. You know, he, I would think, could not understand. You know, he was betrothed to Mary. And in those times, a lot of people are linked together as children. They're not, or the girls were, or whatever. It's not something where you go, oh, I like you. Will you marry me? Mm-hmm. Nothing of the sort. And I don't believe you could even hold hands in public, you know, because that would mar a young lady. Anyway, so what was on Joseph's mind? Was he thinking, God, what's going on? I have Mary. She's going to be my wife, but she's been betrothed to me. I have not touched her. There's a baby within her. How did that happen? Well, God let him fall asleep with all his thoughts. And in his dream, the Lord appeared to him, or the angel of the Lord, it says, appeared to Joseph. And he said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary, thy wife, to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's the word of God. Do you believe or do you not believe that God was speaking to Joseph in a dream? Do you believe, Amen. Do you not believe that what he did then, Amen. He can do now? Let me tell you what. Amen. Was God not laying out his plans for Joseph and Mary's life? Not only for them, but his great plan for us, for the world, his plan of salvation. Amen, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you that you speak to us in dreams. I tell you right now, when the king speaks, be a good note taker. Document the plans that he purposely lays down for you. When you know you hear from God, write it down. Amen. If you're not sure it's from him, write it down anyway and wait for the confirmation to come.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Even, write it down, even if his plans, what he speaks of, are way beyond your carnal mind, way beyond your thinking, way beyond your plans. He is God. He is able. What else can I tell you? Amen? Amen.
Amen.
However, amen. However, now listen, however, once the king has spoken and laid down his plans, the responsibility is yours. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And as you wait on his writings, on his promises to come to pass, don't be afraid to remind the king of what he has said. Now, I'm not saying that he forgets, but I want you to let him know that you don't forget. So remind him of what he has said. I remind him frequently. Whenever I look at that sticky note, I remind him. And I wonder. I wonder if I would remember. And if I would remind him if I had not written it down. Amen. So it's very important.
Amen.
You need to, when you go to school, don't you take notes? Why? To remember. To know what you have to plan for on that big test. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yep. You need to, thank you. We need to have notes to remind ourselves of what is to come. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Now, during one of our board meetings, Pastor Bernice mentioned how she writes everything down when the king speaks to her.
Amen.
I couldn't help but cut in and say, okay, Pastor, cut it. You're sneaking into my message. but that's just an aside. And now, just to reiterate, we must believe that God can do now what he's done in past days. I don't care how many times we have to repeat that. You know, we have to get it in. His promises, we need to believe. So what has he done in the past? I'm going to 1 Kings 10. And I'm not reading them verbatim, so write it down and read them. When you come to those pearly gates, you can't say to God, Dorcas told me, Pastor Bernice told me, Pastor Ruth told me. You can't.
Amen.
Because God's going to say to you, I don't care what they said. I gave you my word. I gave you my word. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So what does 1 Kings 10 speak about? It speaks about the miracle of flour and oil.
Hallelujah.
So he speaks about provision. God is your provider. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And in 1 Kings 10, Elijah went to the town gate. And to his surprise, there was a widow there, and she was gathering sticks. And he called out to her, and he said, please bring me a little water in a jug that I may drink. So she went about to fetch him the water. She was obedient. She must have known this was a man of God. So she went to get him the water. And in the interim, Elijah says to her, you know what? Please bring me the water and then go home, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And what she replied to him, I will read. As Adonai your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a little oil in a jug. Now look, you see me gathering these sticks? The sticks must have been to light the fire. I'm gathering these sticks so I can go home and prepare something, prepare this bread for me and my son that we may eat and then prepare to die. Why was she preparing to die? Remember, there was a famine in the land caused by a drought. So she knew that's all she had. There was no new crops without rain. So she said that she would then be prepared
to die.
Preparing to die. Yes, yes. But what did Elijah say to her? He told her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go home, make me my bread, and then with what's left, you can make yours.
Amen, amen.
What faith? What faith? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have your cupboards empty with just a little something left and you have your child and someone else wants that, what faith to give it? What obedience? Remember, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
What faith? Yes. But Elijah told her, don't be afraid. Go and make mine first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for you and your son. There wasn't going to be any left. Yeah. So he said to her, and I will read it in 14. For thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day Adonai sends rain on the land.
Amen.
And that was what happened. How do we know? Someone wrote it down.
Yes.
So she went obedient and did what was according to Elijah, or God that spoke through Elijah. And you know what happened? She and her son, her household, could there have been anyone else there? Her household ate for many days.
Yes.
The jar of flour was never exhausted, nor the jug of oil become empty, according to the word from Adonai, which was spoken through Elijah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So what does he tell us here? Here, he promises us that he was the provider then. He is our provider now.
Yes, amen.
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 He will do what he promises. Write it down. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now tell me, what was written in John 11, 38 to 44? Remember, these things were written down. That's how we know. Here, Lazarus was rose from the dead. And it tells us that Jesus was groaning when he came to the tomb. Read it. To the cave. And there was a stone against it, which must have been the practice of those days, because when we read about Jesus, remember it says the stone was removed. So Jesus said, Martha, or whoever, take away the stone. And Martha's answer to him was, oh Lord, my brother's been dead for 4 days. My brother sinks.
Mm-hmm.
There was a stench in that tomb. And Jesus said to her, do I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And Amen. Here I'm going to tell you, if you believe, if you believe what God tells you, you will see the glory of God. Amen, amen, amen. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying or lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes to the Father. And he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know you always hear me. What does this tell me right away? This tells me when I pray, when I have any petition, thank the Father first. Thank him for all he does. Thank him for his provisions. Thank you for his promises. Thank him that he is God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And he continued, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe you sent me.
Yes.
Now, after he said all of that, in a loud voice, he says, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
And what happened? He who had died, he that was dead, came out of the cave, still with his hands and feet bound in the grave cloths. What does that mean to us? The written word tells us, what was written tells us that he can raise people from the dead. He did it then, and I'm going to tell you something. He can do it now. He will do what he promises.
Yes.
Write it down. And before I continue, I just want to point out the wisdom of God. Amen. God, Jesus, in all his wisdom, called Lazarus out by name. He said, Lazarus.
Amen.
Or imagine. You see, he was specific. Can you imagine what a spectacle it would have been if God did not qualify whom he was calling? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I'm telling you, in the same context, and this is not biblical, what I'm going to say, and it's just what I think. If I'm wrong, forgive me. God, forgive me. And teach me, please. Another point I would like for us to ponder about this same topic, resurrection. What about before we came to Christ, when we were dead in our sin? And this, I just jumped forward, but I am going to get back to what I'm saying. It was just me also. When we were dead in our sin, we were all dead in our trespasses. When we came and recognized Jesus as our Lord and Savior, were we not born again? Were we not resurrected from our sins?
Amen.
God can do now what he did then. Amen. What about, now this is the thing that perplexes me. What about in current times, the people that have had so-called near-death experiences? I even heard or read about one gentleman who was pronounced dead in the hospital. They removed all his monitors. They removed his life support system. He was dead for almost an hour, yet he came back.
Amen.
What about them? And I'm going to tell you, before I give you this next tidbit, many, many years ago, when my children were little, I was taken into the presence of God. It happened once. Mm-hmm. It never happens again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but maybe there's something lacking in my faith. But I was brought into the actual presence of God. And I remember just worshiping him. And I had my husband. I had my daughter was, you know, young. I had my older son, which was also very young, maybe 4 years old. And I'm going to tell you, while I was in the actual presence of God, nothing mattered to me. The only thing that mattered to me was I was afraid that God was going to send me back. That he was going to send me back. I didn't think of my husband. I wasn't thinking of my daughter, which must have been about 6 years old. I wasn't thinking about my older son that was about five. Andrew was not yet born. But I wasn't thinking about anything except, oh, God, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. And the only reason I mentioned that is because almost all the people that had the near-death experience recount the same experience. You see, they don't want to come back. But it's God that tells them they have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, so that, I'm saying, God, you know, could that be considered that? You see, the same longing for God not to send them back, but he did. He did send them back. Think about it. Is that resurrection? Mm. Think about, is that resurrecting? I don't know, but it's something to think about, or maybe, I don't know, research more. I don't know where or what. Anyway, what about healings? What about healings? John 5, 1 through 15. Read it. Now, this speaks of us about the festival of the Jews. Amen. And Pastor, if you have to cut me off. This speaks of the festival of the Jews. And Jesus was walking to Jerusalem. And he went by the chief gate, which was called Bethesda, but in Hebrew, Bethesda, had five porches. I don't know what Bethesda means, five porches. I don't know. Because it said in Hebrew, it's called Bethesda, having five porches. And when he was there, he saw multitudes of people laying there sick. Amen? Because why were they there? Because an angel of the Lord at a certain time would come down and stir up the waters. He would stir up the waters. And then whoever went into that pool that had those moving waters, they would be healed. So Jesus goes up to this man who had been ill. He had this infirmity. I'm figuring he was paralyzed or something because he couldn't get into the pool. He had it for 38 years. And God knew. So when Jesus saw him there and he knew he had been in that condition for a very long time, Jesus didn't tell him. Jesus asked him. The word says Jesus asked. He said, do you want to be made well? Why did he ask? And I'm going to ask you, are you comfortable in the sympathy, in the attention that your situation might be bringing your way? The sick man then answered to him, Lord, sir, I have, you know, he could move. I have no man to put me into the pool when the water gets stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps before me. And Jesus said to him, rise up, take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Do you need your water stirred? Get into the word. Get into the word. And receive what God promises you. Do not put doubt. Do not say if you will, because God wills. Amen. It's you that need to have that faith. I'm telling you, God healed then. He can heal now.
Amen.
He says it in his word. His word does not return void. Doesn't it say that in the word?
Amen. Right. Amen.
So what he did then, he can do now. Let me just tell you, what is void? What is the word void? That his word does not return void. As an adjective, it means his word does not return completely empty. As a noun, his word does not return as a completely empty space. As a verb, the word void, as a verb, his word does not return declaring something that is not valid. You see, you can write a fresh new page of promises for you. Yes, he is speaking to you. Know that there are old truths that he will use. He will use them today in writing your story. Amen, amen.
Amen.
And the one thing I implore you to do is to remove the period. Yes, remove the period. Can you get that? Remove the period.
Amen.
Yes, remove the period from the writings for your life. Don't put a period.
Amen.
Where God has put a comma.
Amen.
Remove the period. I say replace it with a comma. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Replace it with a comma. Amen. And let the Lord guide you. I know we all have a history. We've all failed at one time or another. The only righteous one is our Father in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And there are many history books. There are many stories that people may speak of us and to us, but we do not have to live in them. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. We must live in the outpouring of the plans that God has for us. The plans he has for our future and our future generations. Amen. Amen. Keep that pen ready so you can write down the plans. The plans that conform, the plans that confirm what is about to happen in your life. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, our God, the Holy Spirit, Spirit is not only a God of yesterday, he is the God of our today and our tomorrows. Let me share another little truth with you before I am done. A truth we all must know and incorporate into our lives. Very, very important. Your tongue is also a form of your pen. Change the words to match the words that God speaks over you.
Hallelujah.
Words that you have been conscientious to write down. Let your tongue be an active participant in claiming your future, in claiming the days you have yet to live. Prove that you are serious about growing in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
About growing in your faith, growing in God's plans for your life. If you are, get your pen in hand and get ready to hear a word from the Word. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I hope I haven't lost your attention.
But no, you haven't. Not at all.
Thank you. Thank you. Psalm 44:1 tells us, my tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe.
Amen.
Yes, it's not over. How does the hymn go? It's not finished. It's not ending. It's only the beginning when God is in it. And if I haven't gone over my time, if I haven't been, you know how sometimes you get all of a sudden, you can get on the internet or TV, a blank screen, like you're done, boop. But if I haven't gone over my time, let me tell you, your future is not defined by the confines of your physical body. It's not confined by your emotions. It's not confined, your future is not confined by society. It is confined by Jesus and nothing else. He knows your name. He wants to write a different and a new story for your future. Your tongue speaks of your future. So be careful. Be careful with the words you choose. Speak life over your future. If you can't see it, speak it. Speak the unseen. Whatever God whispers in your ear, speak it out loud. I don't want anybody to say, oh, I'm dying to do this. I'm dying to go here. I'm not dying or anxious to do anything except what God wants me to do. So whatever God whispers in your ears, speak it out loud. It's time for a new story to be written. It's time for your next chapter. Be confident in knowing that He knows how your story ends.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is about to speak over you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bernice.